بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله ومن ولا وبعد. This evening, بإذن الله تعالى, this is going to be our seventh session, reading from some of the commentaries upon Al-Aqidah Al-Tahawiyyah by Al-Imam Abu Ja'far Ahmad ibn Muhammad ibn Salama Al-Tahawi rahimahullah. In tonight's session, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, we're going to continue with what remains from what he has presented concerning the Tawheed of Allah. And this first section of the book is dealing with the Tawheed of Allah, and there are maybe 5 points remaining, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, yeah, I think 5 points remaining related to the Tawheed of Allah before we go into the topic of the Qada of Allah and Qadr. So I don't know if we'll be able to cover those 5 points, but anyway, we're going to try to do as much as we can of that tonight, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. As we mentioned previously, the numbering of the points in the Arabic text that we are reading from is different from the numbering in the main commentary of Sheikh Salih al-Fawzan, hafidhullah, and the translation of Sheikh Salih al-Fawzan's commentary also has a different numbering. So there's a lot of numbers here. I hope we don't become too confused by them. And I'll try to mention as much as possible what the numbering is in each book, so that if somebody's following it from Sheikh Salih Fawzan or from the other commentaries or from the English translation, hopefully we'll be able to know where we're at. So before we begin with the first point tonight, we're going to review quickly some of the points that we covered previously from the questionnaire study guide for lecture number 6. First question being, what is the 11th statement of the author, Al-Imam Al-Tahawi, rahimahullah, as it relates to Allah being the Khaliq and Raziq? What is the 11th statement of Imam Al-Tahawi? I'll start here, you're closer.
Khaliqun bila haja, Raziqun bila
طيب خالق بلا حاجة. What is the meaning? Somebody else. What is the meaning of that? Yeah, Abdul Wali.
He is the creator without need.
Creator without any need. Yani he didn't have any need for his creation. And the second part, رازق بلا معنى. Somebody else. نعم. Yusuf. Provides for his creation without any effort, without any difficulty. The second question, since Allah has no need of His creation, yani He's created without any need, then what is the purpose for which He created them? And mention the evidence from the Quran. What is the purpose for which He created them? Ahmed. Okay, so the evidence for the purpose for which Allah created the creation is from Surah Al-Dhariyat, 51st Surah, 56th Ayah, where Allah states that, I have not created the jinn and men except to worship me. So what is the purpose for which Allah created the creation? To worship Him, to worship Him. And yani, the tafsir concerning this ayah is important, that we look at the tafsir of these various ayat that the scholars are using for evidence for whatever it is that we believe in. It's important to read the tafsir, not just to read the Arabic or even the, or not just to read the translation, but rather a person should look at the tafsir to understand that if the very purpose for which we were created is to worship Allah, then yani, it follows then that that should be our main concern in this world. And that should be the thing that we focus upon. That should be the most important affair, and that is yani, our relationship with Allah, worshiping Allah. Question number 3, list some of the reasons mentioned by Sheikh Salih Fawzan, hafidhullah, as to why the people are in need of worshipping Allah. Why are the people in need of worshipping Allah? Okay, Adam.
Well, I would say one of the reasons is to have a connection to Allah, and the worship itself is a tie between...
Tayyib. So one of the reasons is to have a connection, to be connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and worship is a sila, Yani it's something that can, it's that which connects the abd to his rabb. Naam. Another reason. Naam, Ahmed. There's no doubt. If you don't worship Allah, you're going to be worshiping something else. But the Shaykh didn't mention that. Yani, list some of the reasons mentioned by Shaykh Salih Al-Fawzan. Hafidhullah. Some of the reasons, I mean, what he said is good, but the question is very specific. Yani, some of the reasons listed by Shaykh Salih Al-Fawzan. Who's that back there? What's your name?
Ilyas.
Ilyas? MashaAllah, Ilyas. Tayyib, Ilyas, give us another one. To earn the reward of Jannah. Okay, yani, that's the general meaning of what the Shaykh said. Yani, to earn Allah's reward, the thawab and jazan. Of course, the most important thawab is Jannah, mashallah, good. And one more point that the Shaykh mentioned before that. Naam. Yes. To attain a near relationship with Allah. Yani, worshipping Allah is a means of connecting oneself to Allah, and it also is a means of getting near and near and nearer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Naam. So these are some of the points that the Shaykh mentioned, and it's something that we can reflect upon, yani, because there is benefit in knowing why we are in need to worship Allah. We need to know why. Otherwise, people, and you might not be motivated to worship Allah, but when you know that this is going to be a means of connecting you to Allah, and a means of nearness to Allah, and a means of earning Allah's reward, then yani, it's a little bit clearer. Question number 4. What is the 12th statement of the author, Al-Imam At-Tahawi, rahimahullah, as it relates to his descriptions of Allah? The 12th statement as it relates to his descriptions of Allah. And I'm going to say here that in Sheikh Salih Fawzan's book, he separated them into 2 points. But anyway, the Sheikh gave them originally as 1 point. We're going to go to Jace first. He's the youngest person here. That he is the one who causes death without fear. Naam. Anybody else add to that?
Mumitum bila makhafa.
Mumitum bila makhafa. Ba'ath bila mashakka. Naam. So what is the second one? Ba'ath bila mashakka.
He resurrects without any difficulty.
He resurrects, and he gives life to the dead without any difficulty. Without any difficulty. Question number 5. Why does Allah cause people to die? Yani, from the commentary of Sheikh Salih Fawzan on this point. From the commentary of Sheikh Salih Fawzan. What did he say? Why does Allah cause people to die? Naam, I should know your name by now. Help me. Huh?
Yes.
Yes? Yes. Naam. That's why I don't know it, because it's a little difficult.
No, it's a guess.
Yes. Huh?
Yes. Mahmoud.
Mahmoud. Oh, Mahmoud.
He gave
okay.
His life an ending.
Huh?
He gave his life an ending.
Okay, because he gave this. Yani, this life in this world has an ending. Anybody want to add to that? Yani, no. Probably.
Yeah, it's for yani, it has hikmah. There's an objective.
Because yani, Allah causes the people to die for a hikmah. Yani, for a purpose, for a reason. There's an objective. It's not just haphazard, right? And what is that hikmah? Naam. Shanawaz. No, because in order to go to the next life, you have to die, right? So life in this world, Allah has made it, yani, temporary. And He has made the life in the next world permanent, lasting, everlasting, unending. So a person has to die in order to be resurrected and enter into the akhirah, yani, the life that has no ending. Question number 6. What was the question or doubt of the mushrikun, the pagans, about the ability of Allah to resurrect the dead? And this is from Surah Yasin, 36 Surah 78th ayat. What was the doubt of the mushrikeen concerning the ability of Allah to resurrect the dead? Now, I want to just keep asking you. Somebody's back there, Muhammad, now. Meaning? Somebody, what is the meaning of what he just said? What is the meaning? Somebody else. No. Talib. Yani, their doubt was, these bones have disintegrated. How can anybody bring this back to life? That was their doubt. Like that, human being can't do that. But this is not the human being who's doing it, right? But that was their doubt. That was their question. Who will give life to these bones? bones that have been disintegrated. Naam. And what was Allah's reply to them in the following ayat? Naam, Ali. Yani he who produced them, who brought them into existence the first time, yani when they didn't exist at all, when they were nothing, he is the one who will repeat, who will bring them to life again. Naam. And question number 8, explain the rational argument contained in Allah's reply to them in this ayah. What was the rational yani argument that is contained in this reply of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Abdul Wali.
First time bones did not exist at all.
Naam. The first time the person had no existence, didn't exist at all. Naam. And Allah brought them into existence from nothing.
And then brought them back the second time. This is easy. Everything is easy.
Naam. So bringing them back again, yani repeating, yani their any recreation is logically in the mind of the human being something easier to do. So if he brought them into existence from nothing when they didn't exist at all, then it should be easier to bring them into existence again. And as the Abdul Wali said, yani, in reality it's all easy for Allah. Nothing is easier than the other. It's all easy for Allah. The first time and the next time, it's all easy for Allah. Last question is something that we discussed in the end to give you some preparation and some help for today. List 6 of the Asma, the names of Allah, mentioned by the author, Imam al-Tahawi, rahimahullah, and 2 others that are alluded to. And he mentioned 10 descriptions up until this point. So 6 of them are actually confirmed, agreed upon names of Allah. And 2 of them, yani, he used yani some descriptions that allude to 2 other names of Allah. So 6 names of Allah that are confirmed as names of Allah. Now we're going to start with Jaysh. 1.
Al-Qayyum.
Ahmed.
Al-Razik.
2. Naam, who's that back there? Oh, Basil, mashallah. I didn't know you were here, mashallah. I'm glad you raised your hand.
Al-Hayy.
Huh?
Al-Hayy.
That's 3. Naam. 3 more. On this side, Ahmed. Al-Ilah. Al-Ilah. He mentioned in the 4th statement. Naam. Uh-huh. That's 4, right? Okay, Ahmed on this side.
Al-Khaliq.
That's 5. Is that what you were getting ready to say? I saw a little hand back here at the last minute. That's what he's getting ready to say? What's your name? Huh? Zaid? Zaid, can we hear you a little bit? Raise your voice just a little bit. In the masjid, it's permissible for this occasion to raise your voice. What were you going to say? Al-Khaliq, mashallah. Jazakallah khair. Barakallah feekum. Mashallah. Okay, so that's 5 or 6?
5.
We have 1 more? Naam. Ahmed.
Al-Awwal? Oh, no, he didn't mention Al-Awwal.
He didn't mention Al-Awwal. Naam. Naam, Yusuf? Wahid. Wahid. And in the first statement of Imam al-Tahawi. Yani, what did he say in the first statement?
Inna Allah
wahidun. La sharika lahu. So what are the 2 names that are alluded to? What are the 2 names that are alluded to? The actual names of Allah that are alluded to here. What are they? Nobody on this side? Tayyib, fadda.
I think one of them is Al-Awwal.
Al-Awwal is one of them, and the other one is? Zakaria? Al-Akhir. Al-Awwal wal-Akhir. These are 2 of the names of Allah. And what were they alluded to by? What descriptions did he give? Naam.
Qadim.
He said Qadim, yani, instead of Al-Awwal. And he said also? Daim. Naam. So these are some of the descriptions that Al-Imam al-Tahawi mentions for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this first section. And that was the last question we had from last week. And I want to watch the time. So tonight, we're going to begin. If you're reading from the Arabic commentaries that we shared with the class, Arabic PDF, then this would be the 13th statement. And also in Ibn Abi al-Izz, in Al-Imam Ibn Abi al-Izz, in his explanation of this Aqidah al-Tahawiyyah, it is also yani numbered in the same way as it is in that Arabic edition that we're following. And I think the translation of his explanation, Imam Ibn Abi al-Izz, I think also is numbered the same way. So this would be the 13th statement. However, this statement, Sheikh Saleh Al-Fawzan, has divided into three statements. And because he has commented on each part of this statement, a little bit lengthy statement, he has commented on each part of it as a separate statement. So he made it into three statements. And they are numbered in Arabic, in Sheikh Saleh Al-Fawzan's edition, as number 16, 17, and 18. In the English translation, it's one number behind. English translation of Sheikh Saleh Al-Fawzan's book is 15, 16, and 17. So if you're reading from the English translation of Sheikh Saleh Al-Fawzan, it's 15, 16, and 17. If you're reading from Arabic, it's 16, 17, 18. All right? So, this statement that we want to begin with tonight, which Sheikh Saleh Al-Fawzan has divided into three parts, is the core of what follows. Yani the remaining points that follow in reference to the Tawheed of Allah are all related to this one point. All of them are elaboration or further explanation, examples, and even some repetition of what he says here. If we understand this statement, then the rest of it, inshallah, and it will just be further clarification. Further clarification. So, I made some notes here. I mean, I printed out this statement of Imam al-Tahawi. And I think I should read it, if I could find it. Yeah, so what I want to do is, I want to start with the English first, to see if we can comprehend what he's saying here. Okay, if we can comprehend what he's saying, then we want to look at the explanation. As Sheikh Saleh Al-Fawzan mentioned it, there's no commentary from Al-Imam Abdulaziz Ibn Baz or Al-Imam Muhammad Nasruddin Al-Albani on these points, on these points. So, my translation of this point is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He was fully possessing His sifat, His divine characteristics or qualities, since eternity, and from the beginning, before bringing the creation into existence. And before He created anything, He was already possessing His sifat, yani perfect qualities and characteristics of perfection, before bringing the creation into existence. There was no increase at all in His divine characteristics due to bringing into existence the creation. And due to Him bringing the creation into existence, there was no increase at all in His divine characteristics above and beyond what He already possessed before the creation. And nothing additional came into His characteristics or qualities due to Him bringing the creation into existence. So, when He brought the creation into existence, He already had all of these perfect and complete divine qualities, characteristics, or descriptions. And just as he has been possessing His sifat, yani these divine qualities and characteristics, since eternity, without any beginning, yani from forever. Likewise, He will continue to possess them eternally, without any ending. Yani just like He always possessed them, He always will possess these characteristics and these qualities, these sifat. So this is point number 13 from Al-Imam al-Tahawi, and these are the three points that Sheikh Saleh Al-Fawzan has divided them up into. The first point he says, the first point from Sheikh Saleh Al-Fawzan is, from this statement, is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was fully possessing His sifat since eternity, before bringing the creation into existence. He already possessed all of His perfect divine sifat. Second statement, as Sheikh Saleh Al-Fawzan explains it, there was no increase at all in His divine characteristics due to bringing into existence the creation. Yani there was nothing increased above and beyond what He already possessed before the creation. And the third statement, according to Sheikh Saleh Al-Fawzan, Hafidhullah's explanation, the third statement he makes, and just as Allah has been possessing his sifat since eternity without any beginning. Likewise, in the same way, he will continue to possess them eternally. Yani, without any ending. So that's the first point, divided into three parts. Now I'm going to read a little bit more quickly what follows, because it's just elaboration of what he said here. And the 14th point, Al-Imam Tahawi rahimahullah says, it was not only after he created the creation that he was entitled to be named Al-Khaliq. And it wasn't only after he created the creation that he's entitled to be named Al-Khaliq. And he was entitled to this name before he created the creation. Nor was it only after bringing into existence Al-Bariya, the creatures. Nor was it was not only after bringing into existence the creatures that he was entitled to the name Al-Bari. And even before he brought the creatures into existence, he was already entitled to the name Al-Bari. Al-Bari means the originator, who brings something unique into existence, which was previously non-existent. The originator who brings something unique into existence, which was previously non-existent. 15th point. And all this is elaboration. He had the characteristics of ar-rububiyyah, yani of lordship, as the creator, the nourisher, the giver of life, and so on. When there was no marbub, when there was nothing which is in need of being nourished or sustained. And he had already the quality, the characteristic of ar-rububiyyah, lordship, when there was no thing to sustain or to provide for, no marbub. And the characteristic of al-khaliq, and he also had the characteristic or quality of being the khaliq when there was no makhluk, before there was anything that he had created. And then he says, just as he is muhyi al-mawta, the one who resurrects the dead, just as he is muhyi al-mawta, after giving life to the dead, he has the right to this name even before giving life to them. And likewise, he is entitled to the name al-khaliq, creator, before bringing them into existence. All this is elaboration of what he said in the first point. And then the final point before the qadr and qadha, he says, point number 17, this, yani what has been mentioned, is so, since he is qadir, yani he has power over everything, and everything in the universe is faqir, is in need of him, and every matter or affair is yasir, is easy for him, while he has no need of anything. لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٌ وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ. There is nothing like him, and he is the all-hearing, the all-seeing. So this is what we hope to cover tonight, بِإِذِنِ تَعَالَى. And Allah knows best if we're going to cover this whole explanation, the Shaykh's explanation of all of this. But anyway, this is what remains from the first section dealing with the Tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So tonight we're going to read exclusively from Shaykh Salih Fawzan, hafidhahullah, because there's no ta'liqat from the Imams. From Imam Al-Albani or Imam Ibn Baz, rahimahumullah. So the first point, 16, again, as I mentioned, is divided into three points by Shaykh Salih Fawzan. It's point 13, but he has mentioned it in the Arabic book as point 16. And it's going to be 16, 17, and 18. So these three points are one point altogether. He's going to explain them separately, each of these points. He says, مَا زَالَ بِصِفَاتِهِ قَدِيمًا قَبْلَ خَلْقِهِ مَا زَالَ بِصِفَاتِهِ قَدِيمًا قَبْلَ خَلْقِهِ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He was, He always was, and still is, but He always was, fully possessing his sifat, his divine characteristics or qualities, since eternity, before bringing the creation into existence. He already possessed his divine qualities and characteristics. Mazala, and he always was, yani bisifatihi, yani possessing, described with these characteristics and qualities, qadiman, from the beginning, قبل خلقه, before he created anything. Sheikh says, تقدم. And understanding what the Sheikh says here, understanding what he says here is understanding this point. And if we were to read the explanation of Al-Imam Ibn Abd al-Izz, it's quite lengthy and detailed, and it actually contains a lot of discussion that may be difficult to even follow. Sheikh Salih Fawzan has explained it in a very short, summarized, brief fashion that's possible to understand. Especially if we understand the statement of Al-Imam al-Tahawi, then understanding this explanation completes it and makes it possible for us to understand. Well, before I read what he said, and I don't want to rush through this because, you know, reading it, especially reading the detailed explanation of this point, is a little bit involved. So I want to make sure that it's clear to us. If we understand this point, we can move on and we're good to go. Al-Imam al-Tahawi mentions what he says here in this 13th statement. He mentions it in refutation of the people of deviation, yani the Mu'tazila and the Jahmiya, and those who agreed with them from the Shia. More than one group of people of deviation had this wrong belief that he's responding to here. What is their wrong belief? The Shaykh is going to explain it. I'm going to read it first now, and then we'll go back and read his whole explanation. He said, the people of deviation, they said, لَمْ تَكُنْ لَهُ صِفَات فِي الْأَزَلِ. Meaning that Allah, in the beginning, a long time ago, He didn't have these sifat, these qualities and characteristics. ثُمَّ كَانَتْ لَهُ صِفَات. And then, suddenly, at some point, after not having them, He had these sifat. Later on, He was perfected by having these qualities of being the creator and the one who gives life to the dead and so on and so on and so on. Later on. And they said this, the Shaykh says, لِأَلَّا يَلْزَمْ عَلَى ذَلِكَ تَعَدُّدْ الْآلِهَا كَمَا يَزْعَمُونَ أَوْ تَعَدُّدْ الْقُدُمَا وَتَكُونُ الْأَسْمَاءُ وَالصِّفَاتُ شَرِيكَ لِلَّهِ فِي أَوَّلِيَّتِهِ. And they said that he didn't have these characteristics, and then later on he got them. And this is so that they would not be forced into a position that they don't want to be in. What is this position that they think? And he says, كَمَا يَزْعَمُونَ, as they claim, they imagined, they claimed, that if they said he had the sifat from the beginning, then this would require them to acknowledge تَعَدُّدْ الْآلِهَا, that there are many gods. And if there were many sifat that were in the beginning just like Allah, then there would be, then each of those, each sifa is going to be a god. So there were many gods. This is their thinking. Yani, they said that Allah, He didn't have these sifat, and then, yani, He had them. لِأَلَّا يَلْزَمْ عَلَى ذَلِكَ تَعَدُّدْ الْآلِهَا كَمَا يَزْعَمُونَ. So that they wouldn't be forced to acknowledge that there are many gods. أَوْ تَعَدُّدْ الْقُدُمَا, or that there are many entities that were eternal, just like Allah. Yani, as though His sifat are independent, separate entities besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَتَكُونُوا الْأَسْمَى وَالْصِفَاتِ, and then these names and these sifat, if they were with Allah from the beginning, then they would be partners with Allah. They would be partners with Allah in His awwaliyah, and in His quality or characteristics of being the first. They would also have the same quality. They would also be divine. They would be gods, yani equal to Allah. That's their thinking. It may sound very strange, but that's their thinking. This is the result, this kind of thinking is the result of people who do not adhere to, first and foremost, yani, what the people before us, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his companions and the people, the generations that followed in their way. Whoever doesn't adhere to what they transmitted to us, based on the revelation from the Quran and Sunnah, then they have strange ideas. They have corrupted thinking and they go astray. That's how misguidance starts. By people not adhering to the Quran and the Sunnah, then they come up with their own ideas and they go astray. And I mention all the time, one of the strangest things that some of us actually accepted. To some extent we accepted it. A man came to America calling to Islam, or he was in America, born in America. And he was calling people to Islam, and he described Allah with a description that didn't come in the Quran and Sunnah. He said, Allah is the divine mind. And thousands and thousands and thousands of people accepted what he said. He just made it up. Anyway, where did he get it from? Of course he got it from Shaitan, but I'm just saying. Yani it wasn't somebody before him that came with this. That's what happens when we don't stick to the Qur'an and Sunnah. If we adhere to the Qur'an and Sunnah, and I'm emphasizing this point because this is critical. It really shows us how strange, how far off people can go if they don't adhere to the Qur'an and Sunnah. And they don't follow that which was transmitted to us from the first generation, from the companions of the Prophet ﷺ and those who came after them. So that's, you know, what Imam At-Tahawi is responding to. This strange idea of these people that Allah, He didn't have His qualities of perfection from the beginning, because this would require them then to acknowledge that then there must have been each of those sifat, each sifa is like a god besides Allah that has the same divine quality of being from the beginning, eternal, first. And so they said, no, He didn't have them in the beginning. Those sifat came later on, so they're not equal to Allah. Okay, so that is the idea that we are talking about here. And as strange as it may be, it's important for us to understand. Yani, what is correct? What do the people of Sunnah, the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, what are we supposed to believe? Yani, that is correct, that's accurate, based on the Qur'an and Sunnah. So the Shaykh Salih Fawzan, he says, مَزَالَ بِصِفَاتِهِ قَدِيمًا قَبْلَ خَلْقِهِ. Yani, He always had these divine qualities and characteristics from the beginning, before His creation, yani before He created the creation. He says, the author, rahimahullah, يعني تقدم قول المصنف, يعني he said previously, قديم بلا ابتداء. يعني in point number 5, he described Allah as قديم بلا ابتداء. We said that قديم is not a proper name for Allah, but what he intends here is qualified by what? Without having any beginning. That he was ancient, يعني without having any beginning. That means he didn't have any beginning, then he's al-awwal. As the Prophet ﷺ said that, O Allah, You are the first, and there's nothing before You. So he said the author, he previously mentioned that Allah is Qadim bila ibtida, and He has no beginning. فَهُوَ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى لَيْسَ قَبْلَهُ شَيْءٌ. So there's nothing before Him. So what is the meaning of this statement, مَا زَالَ بِصِفَاتِهِ قَدِيمًا? He said, مَعْنَ ذَلِكَ أَنَّهُ مُتَّصَفْ بِصِفَاتِ الْكَمَالِ. That قَدِيمًا, from the, يعني without any beginning, He always was being described, yani muttasif, with these yani qualities or characteristics of perfection, sifat al-kamal. Yani that's what Imam al-Tahawi is saying, mazal bi sifatihi qadiman, qabla khalqi. That He always was described with these characteristics of perfection. فَصِفَاتُهُ تَكُونُ أَزَلًا وَأَبَدًا. So His qualities and characteristics of perfection, they would have been, yani, always there, eternity, from eternity and forever. Azalan, yani from eternity, wa abadan and forever. He always had these qualities and He always will have them. فَكَمَا أَنَّهُ أَوَّلٌ بِلَا بِدَايَةٍ فَكَذَلِكَ صِفَاتُهُ. So just as, in the same way that Allah is the first without any beginning, so likewise His sifat. They also have no beginning. فَإِنَّهَا تَكُونُ تَابِيَةً لَهُ سُبْحَانَهُ. Because they are تَابِيَةً, yani they are following the same rule as whatever is applicable to Allah is applicable to them. Because they are yani attached to Allah, inseparable from Allah. These are His sifat, they are inseparable. So the same rule is applicable to them. That is applicable to Allah. And if I have a chance, I want to come back to this point, yani that they are tabia, yani lahu, yani that what do we say about the that of Allah? Shaykh al-Islam Taymiyyah said, al-qawl fi sifat kal-qawl fi zat, that. Yani what we say about Allah's sifat is exactly what we say about His divine being. Same thing. That's what he is saying here. فَهِيَ أَوَّلِيَّةٌ بِأَوَّلِيَّةِ اللَّهِ. So the sifat of Allah, they have this quality or characteristic of being yani eternal, based on Allah having the quality of being eternal. And they are attached to Him, inseparable from Him. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَلَمْ يَكُنْ أَوَّلًا بِلَا صِفَاتٍ. So Allah, He was not the first And in the beginning, from eternity, he was first, but without characteristics or qualities. And he was first, and with him was these qualities of perfection, these qualifications, these descriptions of perfection. ثُمَّ حَدَثَتْ لَهُ الصِّفَاتِ بَعْدِ ذَلِكَ It's not that, and he was first, and he didn't have any qualities or characteristics, and then these qualities and characteristics occurred for him after that. It's not like that. It's not like that. That is, he said, كَمَا يَقُولُهُ أَهْلُ الدَّلَالِ That's what the people of misguidance say. Those who are saying, لَمْ تَكُنْ لَهُ صِفَاتْ فِي الْأَزَلِ He didn't have any صِفَاتْ يعني, from eternity. ثُمَّ كَانَتْ لَهُ صِفَاتْ And then after that, at some point, these qualities or characteristics, he would describe with them. And this is so, and they took this position so that they would not be required, forced, to acknowledge a multiplicity of gods, many gods, as they claim, or a multiplicity of those or some entities that are qadim like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in that case, they claimed that Allah's asma and his sifat would be partners with him in this quality or this characteristic of awwaliyya. And the awwaliyya is the sifa that comes from the name of Allah al-awwal. And we said previously that every one of the asma of Allah contain a sifa. And every name of Allah contains within it a quality or characteristic. So the awwal, yani the quality or characteristic from al-awwal is awwaliyya. Yani he's being described as being yani eternal. So then they said that, you know, then they wouldn't be stuck in this position of acknowledging that Allah's asma and sifat are partners with him in this description or this quality of being al-awwal. Fanaqulu. So what is our position? Sheikh Salih Fawzan says simply, Fanaqulu. Ya subhanallah. Hatha yalzam alayhi an yakoon Allah naqisan. Ta'ala Allah. Fi fatra. Thumma hadathat lahu as-sifat. وَكَمُلَ بِهَا تَعَالَ اللَّهُ عَمَّا يَقُولُونَ He says, Subhanallah, this, yani acknowledge, this, yani failure to acknowledge that Allah had His qualities and characteristics, yani from eternity, this requires that we say that Allah was naqis, He was defective, when He wasn't all-powerful, when He wasn't all-knowing, when He wasn't the creator and the Rabb, then he was naqis, if he didn't have these qualities of perfection. This is what this requires them to say. For some period of time, he was naqis. They would be required to say. And then the sifat came, and he was completed and perfected when he was later on described with these qualities and characteristics. He said, may Allah be high above and far removed from what they are saying. And then he says to them, yani, or he says, yani, he refutes them by saying, لا يلزم من قدم الصفات قدم الأرباب. Yani, acknowledging that Allah's sifat were with him from eternity doesn't require us to say that there were some other lords who also, yani, are there from eternity. Yani, as though his sifat are independent, separate entities besides Allah. لِنَّ الصِّفَاتِ لَيْسَتْ شَيْئًا غَيْرُ مَوْصُوفٍ فِي الْخَارِجِ Yani the sifat of Allah are not something other than the one that they are descriptions of. The mawsuf. Yani the mawsuf yani is the one that's described with the sifa. So Allah's sifat are not something other than Him. Yani something outside of Him that exists independently. He said, إِنَّمَا هِيَ مَعَانٍ قَائِمَةٍ بالموصوف. Rather, they are qualities that are established in the one that is being described by them. Yani Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They are His qualities, inseparable from Him. لَيْسَتْ شَيْئًا مُسْتَقِلًا And they are not something that is, that are, they are not things that are independent, separate and independent of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَإِذَا قُلْتَ مَثَلًا And then He shows them logically. Like the argument they're making doesn't make any sense. فَإِذَا قُلْتَ مَثَلًا فُلَانْ سَمِيعٌ بَصِيرٌ عَالِمٌ فَقِيهٌ لُغَوِيٌ نَحْوِيٌ فهل معنى هذا أن الإنسان صار عددا من الأشخاص؟ يعني if you said for example that a person hears and he sees and he is an عالم, a scholar, and he's a faqih, and he has Islamic jurisprudence, and he's a lugawi and a nahwi, يعني a scholar in Arabic language and nahw and grammar. Is the meaning of this that that person now has become a number of people? فلا يلزم من تعدد الصفات تعدد الموصوف. So it's not a requirement that if there are many qualities or characteristics, that there have to be a number of different entities that are described by them. But rather one entity can be described with many characteristics or qualities. It's not as the people of deviation claim. فَاللَّهُ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى لَيْسَ لِصِفَاتِهِ بِدَايَةً. So he's closing here by saying what? That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his sifat, his divine descriptions, qualities or characteristics, they have no beginning. They have no beginning. كَمَا أَنَّهُ لَيْسَ لِذَاتِهِ بِدَايَةً. Just as his that, his divine being, has no beginning. فَيُوصَفْ بِأَنَّهُ الْخَالِقْ دَائِمًا وَأَبَدًا. So he is described, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is described with these descriptions of being the creator. For example, دَائِمًا وَأَبَدًا. Always and forever. Always and forever. يعني Allah's sifat, they have no beginning just as his that has no beginning. Here I want to mention what Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah said, Al-Qawl fi sifat kal-Qawl fi that. Yani what we say about the sifat of Allah are exactly what we say about the that, the divine being of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Qala rahimahullah, وَهُوَ أَنْ يُقَالَ الْقَوْلْ فِي السِّفَاتِ كَالْقَوْلْ فِي الذَّاتِ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٌ. So, yani, what is said here is that the same thing that we say about the sifat of Allah is what we say. It's just like what we say about His divine being. For indeed, Allah, there's nothing like Him. لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٌ. لَا فِي ذَاتِهِ وَلَا فِي صِفَاتِهِ وَلَا فِي أَفْعَالِهِ. There's nothing like Him. Nothing like His divine being, Allah's divine being, nor His qualities or characteristics, nor His actions. There's nothing like Allah, means Allah in His entirety. And His being is not divorced or separate from the qualities or characteristics or descriptions of Him. So when Allah says in the Quran, لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٌ, He means there's nothing like His divine being. And Allah is divine. And every created being is a created being. It's not like Allah. And Allah's sifat are divine, and the created beings are not divine. They are created. Sifat. And the af'al of Allah are different than the af'al of the created beings. فَإِذَا كَانَ لَهُ ذَاتْ حَقِيقَةً لَا تُمَاثِلُ الذَّوَاتِ. يعني if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, indeed Allah does have a real divine being, that no other being, human being, animal, whatever, no other being is like it. فَذَاتْ مُتَّصِفْ بِصِفَاتْ حَقِيقَةً لَا تُمَاثِلْ سَائِرَ الصِّفَاتِ. So likewise, His divine being is described with characteristics and qualities that are also real. And there are no, yani, and there's nothing like them. They are not like the sifat of, yani, the created beings. And then he goes on to say, likewise, his actions, yani, are also included because actions are part of his sifat. As we know, the sifat, as we mentioned previously, are divided into two types, a sifat, a dhatiyya, and a sifat, as-sifat al-dhatiyya and as-sifat al-fi'liyya. Al-fi'liyya. Yani sifat dhatiyya are the qualities and characteristics of Allah that are inseparable from Him. Like He has a face, He has hands, yani He is powerful, He has knowledge, He hears and sees. Those are inseparable. Sifat al-fi'liyya are those connected to His mashiyah. Yani that He does, actions that He does whenever He wills. He ascends, He descends, and so on. He creates and so on. So He's saying here that if Allah, any Allah's divine being is real, and there's no other being in existence that's like it, And so likewise, his sifat, the same thing. They are real, and there's no sifat of anything in the creation that's like them. That's the point that he's making here. The Shaykh closes, Shaykh Saleh Fawzan closes by saying, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, just as his, yani he himself, yani his divine being, it doesn't have any beginning, so his sifat also don't have any beginning. And he is described with them, yani always has been and always will be forever. He says, أَمَّا أَفْعَالُهُ سُبْحَانَهُ فَهُوَ قَدِيمَةَ النَّوْ حَادِثَ الْآحَادِ. So may Allah help us to understand what is intended here. But yani, what the Shaykh is saying here is that these are, yani, as far as Allah's sifat, His qualities and characteristics, and included in them are His actions, which are from His sifat al-fi'liyah, His actions that He does whenever He wills. So as far as His sifat, yani, He's described with them, always was and always will be. As far as His actions, the action of creating something or creating something else, action of descending to the lowest heaven or ascending above the throne, His actions, then they are recurring actions that happen again and again and again, whenever He wills, whenever He wills. So there's a difference between Him being described as the Creator, always was and always will be, have this description. There's a difference between that. Then from His action of creating this creature, or this animal, or this person, or whatever, in the universe. There's a difference between His description, which He's always described with, inseparable, and His action of doing these things, whenever He wills. And they are recurring, the Shaykh says. So they are قَدِيمَ تَنَّوْ, yani they are always, the action, yani of creating is from eternal, from the beginning. But the actual action of creating one thing after another, then these are individual, yani actions that recur whenever Allah wills. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mutakallam qabla an yasdur minhu al-kalam. And He is described as being one who speaks, even before any speech came from Him. وَخَالِقْ قَبْلَ أَنْ يَصْدُرْ مِنْهُ الْخَلْقِ. And He is described as being the Creator before any action of creation occurred from Him. وَأَمَّا أَنْ يَتَكَلَّمْ وَيَخْلُقْ. As far as Him, the action of Him speaking on any particular occasion, in the past or in the future, or creating in the past or in the future, those actions, فَهَذِهِ أَفْعَالْ مُتَجَدِّدَةً. Yani these are actions that recur again and again and again. And that is, it goes for His speaking, His creating, and whatever else yani is from His actions that He does whenever He wills. So that's the explanation of the first part of point 13. That's the explanation of the first part of point 13. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always was described with these qualities and characteristics of perfection, even before He created anything, before He brought the creation into existence. The second part of that point, Shaykh Saleh Fawzan explains separately. He says, لَمْ يَزْدَدْ بِقَوْنِهِمْ شَيْئًا لَمْ يَكُنْ قَبْلَهُمْ مِنْ صِفَتِهِ. Yani, لَمْ يَزْدَدْ. Yani, there was no increase in His divine characteristics. Yani min sifatihi. There's no increase in His divine characteristics. Bi kawnihim. By Him creating them. Yani bringing them into creation doesn't add anything to His divine characteristics. That, yani above and beyond what He already possessed before the creation. Whatever, yani qualities or characteristics He is described with after the creation is what He was described with before the creation. There's nothing added to his sifat. Shaykh says, yani here he says what? لَمْ يَزْدَدْ بِكَوْنِهِمْ شَيْئًا. Yani there's no increase at all in anything due to Him creating them that wasn't already from His sifat. He says, A, khalq al-khalq. Yani his creation of the creation, his creating the creation, didn't add anything to his sifat. وَلَا نَقُولُ لَمْ يَسِرْ خَالِقًا إِلَّا بَعْدَ أَنْ خَلَقَهُمْ. Yani we don't say that he didn't become a creator until after he created them. We don't say that. بَلْ هُوَ يُسَمَّ خَالِقًا مِنَّ الْأَزَلِ لَا بِدَايَةِ لِذَلِكَ. But rather, he is named creator from eternity. There's no beginning to that, to him being having this name, this quality or characteristic. أَمَّا خَلْقُهُ إِنَّمَا هُوَ مُتَجَدِّدٍ. As far as his action of creating, now it happens again and again and again. And he does it newly, again and again and again, whenever he wills. Then he says the third part of that first statement, number 13, وَكَمَا كَانَ بِصِفَاتِهِ أَزَلِيًّا كَذَلِكَ لَا يَزَالُ عَلَيْهَا أَبَدِيًّا. And just as he has been possessing his sifat since eternity, without any beginning, likewise, he will continue to possess them without any ending, yani for eternity. Just as he possessed them from the beginning, so likewise he will continue to possess them eternally without any ending. He says concerning this, كما أنه موصوف بصفاته أزليا يعني لا بداية لذلك كذلك صفاته تلازمه سبحانه في المستقبل. Yani just as he is described with his qualities or characteristics from eternity. Yani what does he mean? Azaliyan, he says, Yani la bidayati lidhalika. What does he mean by azaliyan? And this is an important definition he's given here. Like Allah, he had these characteristics. Azaliyan means la bidayati lidhalika. Yani it has no beginning. That from eternity, always had it. Didn't start at some point. So just as he was described with this sifat, azaliyan, yani without any beginning, yani from eternity, كَذَلِكَ صِفَاتُهُ تُلَازِمُهُ سُبْحَانُهُ وَتَعَالَى فِي الْمُسْتَقْبَلِ. So in the same way, his qualities or characteristics, تُلَازِمُهُ, yani, are inseparable from him. They are inseparable from him, فِي الْمُسْتَقْبَلِ, in the future. Just as he always had them in the past, he will always have them in the future. فَهُوَ بِصِفَاتِهِ أَبَدِي لَا نِهَايَةِ لَهُ. So he is, yani, in being described and possessing his qualities or characteristics, yani, it is described as abadi. What does he mean, abadi? Yani, la nihayat lahu. Yani, it's forever. There's no end to it. Azali, there's no beginning to it. Abadi, there's no ending to it. These are two definitions the Sheikh gave here that brings a lot of clarity in this discussion. That sometimes using some terminology that, yani, we're not using every day today anymore. He says, azali, it means la bidayata li dhalika. It has no beginning. Abadi, la nihayata la. It has no ending. And then he quotes in support of this, anta al-akhir, hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, anta al-akhir, fala ba'daka shay'un. You are the, yani the last. And there is nothing after you. He said, this, the meaning of this, you are al-akhir, and there is nothing after you, bi ismika wa sifatika. Yani, with your name and your qualities and characteristics, there's nothing after you. And after your names and qualities, yani they are forever. وَلَا يُقَالُ إِنَّ هَذِهِ السِّفَاتِ تَنْقَطِعُ عَنْهُ فِي الْمُسْتَقْبَلِ. And we don't say that these qualities or characteristics will be cut off, will be discontinued in the future from him. They will always be with him. بَلْ هِيَ مُلَازِمَةٌ لَهُ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى. Rather, they are inseparable from him, yani Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay, how's the time look? It's almost 1 hour. Allahu Akbar. Labas. This is the main point here. This is point 13. These three parts, as the Shaykh has explained them. And so, yani if it's understood, then it's beneficial, inshallah. Okay, what is the point here, though? I want to stop here. And I want to say, what is the point here? The point is that understanding how we are supposed to believe as Muslims, what is the correct aqidah of Islam, separate and divorced and distinct from the false beliefs of other people, whether they're disbelievers or the people of innovation. That's the point, as the Sheikh mentioned in the beginning, that the point of this Risala and the Muqtasar books of the scholars of Ahl Sunnah, the point is to identify what we believe as distinguished from what the beliefs of the people of Kufr or the people of Bid'ah. So a person has to understand, even though you might say, I already knew that. Well, maybe you knew it, meaning that you understood it like that, but you didn't know it like by knowing. And perhaps there are things that you think you know that are wrong until you learn what's correct. So you might have already known that Allah's qualities and characteristics have always been with him and always will be. And you just like assume that. That makes sense. Yeah, it does make sense. But there's other stuff that might make sense to you that is not right. And that's why we are studying. And that's why we need to learn. Because we do have ideas in our head that came from somewhere, wherever. Whether it came from our culture, from, you know, the people before us or whatever, from the society that we live in. We do have ideas that are contrary to Islam. So a person has to learn this aqidah. It's not something that you just automatically already know. Especially if you came from kufr, or you came from deviation, came from societies that are corrupt and filled with innovation. In many of the Muslim lands, if not most of them. And even people came from Muslim families, came with baggage that they need to dump off the plane, or off the train, or out of the trunk. Now, so that's the point, Alhamdulillah. We didn't get very far tonight. And normally, I'm trying to stick to the schedule. I'm trying to get finished. But I did kind of change my thinking from the beginning of this class. I said we're going to try to do a summary, and we're going to finish, in less than a year. Allah knows best, like how that's going to be. We don't know the future, but I'm not going to race through this. I think that some matters are clear and they're easy to understand, and we'll just go through like we normally do, quickly, inshallah, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. But sometimes something like this, it has some aspect to it that's not so crystal clear, and we need to understand what is correct and what is not correct. And then if we already had that idea, alhamdulillah, it's confirmed by the scholars of Islam. Not by, I think this is right, it sounds good to me. Tayyib. We're going to stop here with this. I'm just going to mention Sheikh Muhammad ibn Salih Uthaymeen in his book that I always refer to, Al-Qawaid al-Muthla fi Sifati Allahi wa Asma'ihi al-Husna, the exemplary principles concerning the sifat of Allah and his beautiful names. He mentions Al-Qaida al-Khamisa, the fifth principle concerning the sifat of Allah. As-Sifat Thubutiyya. As-Sifat al-Thubutiyya tanqasim إلى قسمين. يعني the sifat of Allah are those which are affirmed and those which are negated. And those which are affirmed are also further divided into ذاتية and فعلية. And I referred to that earlier. So I just want to take you back to the fifth principle. Please go back and read it. I'll just say that sifat ذاتية, he says, they are those which always was and always will be part of his description. Like knowledge and ability and hearing and sight and might and honor and hikmah and highness. These are the sifat that are inseparable from Allah. And then there is also sifat al-fi'liyah, which are connected to his mashiyah. If he wills, he does it. If he doesn't will, he doesn't do it, like ascending above the throne and descending into the sama'at dunya and so on like this. Okay, so I just wanted to mention that. And there are some sifat that can be considered from one side or another, from different perspectives, as both being from the sifat al-dhatiyah and sifat al-fi'liyah, like speech. And it's from his sifat, ذاتية, because he'll never be without the being described of, as one who speaks. And yet, it's from his sifat, الفعلية, because he speaks whenever he wills. And if he doesn't speak, he doesn't speak. And so on. We'll stop with this. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك. I ask Allah for myself and for each of you that he grant us success in doing whatever we do sincerely for his sake alone. And that he, out of his generosity and kindness, that he recognize, record, and reward our good deeds. Allah doesn't have to accept our good deeds. And you don't imagine that because you prayed Fajr prayer in the masjid, Allah has to accept that. And our deeds are defective. And Allah is entitled to more than that. And he doesn't have to accept it from us. So we ask Allah, out of his kindness and his generosity, to accept, to recognize, to record, and to reward our good deeds, even though they're defective. And that he pardon, forgive, and overlook our mistakes and errors. And that he grant us a thabat, firmness upon As-Sirat al-Mustaqim, until we return to him and he leave this world, and return to him in a condition in which we are pleased with him and pleasing to him. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant a quick and speedy recovery to those amongst us who are sick, and that He shower His rahmah upon those who have passed away and fill their graves with light and make them spacious and admit them into His Jannah and save them from the punishment of the grave and the punishment of the fire. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to continue to grant His relief to the Muslims, whether in Palestine, whether in Yemen or Sudan or Syria or Iraq or Afghanistan or in the Kafir countries or wherever they may be, that Allah continue to grant them relief and that He protect them and preserve them in the way that only He can. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen. Whoever's able to stay, inshallah, we're going to have some refreshments for a few minutes, maybe 15 or 20 minutes. Allah knows best. And after that, inshallah, unless you have to go, inshallah. But if you don't have to go, stay with us for a few minutes and have some refreshments. Barakallahu feekum.